New West Group is a nationally recognized healthcare staffing agency with over 30 years of experience connecting clinicians to leading health systems. In 2023, they were honored as the top travel nurse agency by nurse.org. But New West is more than just travel staffing. They excel in placing local, temp-to-hire, and direct talent as well. Discover their full-service concierge approach at newwestgroup.com.
Hey Nomads, welcome to another episode of Travel Nursing and Allied Life. I am one of the hosts, Dr. Dylan Callier. You might recognize me from the New Medical Nomads podcast, but today wanted to talk about some considerations when jumping into travel with a travel partner, with a travel buddy, as a travel couple, and also just reflecting on traveling solo. This is probably going to be a podcast more for those just jumping in, or it might be somebody who's been traveling around for a little bit as a solo traveler and maybe thinking about, well, I've been doing this for 2 to 3 years. I'm not sure how much longer I can do this solo. I need to add a buddy along to this. So we'll talk about that. I've had experience with both, although I've just dabbled with, having a travel buddy, for about the last 2 to 3 years. I've had a travel buddy, and we've taken some contracts together. She travels in an RV. I typically find my own housing, so we don't get to take the advantages of, you know, shared housing costs. But it is nice to have somebody familiar around and a friend that you can just easily go on adventures with. So there's definitely some pros and cons that we'll talk about. But mostly I've been a solo traveler. And actually, when I first jumped into travel, I kind of thought this was a travel solo person's game. Like, there weren't going to be travel partners out there, and there weren't going to be travel families out there. But my view on that quickly changed after my first TravCon, where you start meeting all these travel couples and travel families. The families are less so, and they're usually with a small child, not yet at school age. But pretty much, if you want to make travel lifestyle work for you, you can make it work for you. And when jumping into travel, my original plan was to actually travel with one of my best friends. And she's a occupational therapist. I'm a physical therapist. We were going to jump in at the same time. She ended up backing out last minute. And I was already 10 months out of school at that time, working as permanent PT. And I was afraid to postpone that any further, scared that if I did that, I might not ever travel. So I went ahead and jumped in. And I'm very happy that I did do that as a solo. So we'll start with kind of the pros and cons of traveling solo, and then we'll go into the pros and cons of traveling with a buddy, with a partner, and some considerations to take before you jump into that with that, and how to make it work a little bit easier or a little bit better. So jumping in as a travel solo individual, number one, I think the biggest pro is that, and this goes for international travels too, that when you do it solo, there is so much personal growth that comes into it. For those who are in self-development, I've had some conversations with other travelers, and those who have made that jump into traveling, they've already had to kind of do some self-work in order to do that. I remember before jumping in, just talking with friends, and some of their like biggest fears would be to go to a movie theater by themselves or go get dinner by themselves. And, oh, people are watching me. And, I say that laughing now because it's now 6 years that I've been traveling. And that's something that I don't even consider anymore to be weird. But at the time it was kind of, weird, awkward, for those that aren't used to it. So you do get a lot of growth when you're out traveling, finding out that you can do those long road trips on your own. You can figure out and problem solve on your own, especially international travels. I think that's when you're able to be comfortable in a room by yourself, it's a superpower that not many have. So there is the biggest pro, I think, for traveling solo. And when comparing it to traveling with a partner, when you travel solo, and again, this goes for international travels, you're kind of the captain of your ship. You get to go where you want to go. You get to say no to contracts you don't want to take. And you're in full control of kind of where your destiny goes and where that lifestyle takes you. So if you are wanting to go to a cool location, but it's not paying very much, you can make that decision. If you are wanting to go after higher paying contracts for 6 months so that you can take the rest of the year off or whatever it might be and go travel somewhere or start a business, you can leverage that as well. And you're a lot more flexible when you are traveling solo. Whereas now we'll get into the pros and cons of traveling as a duo. You lose a little bit of that flexibility. Flexibility is kind of the name of the game for having the most options to you and to really be successful as a traveler. The more options that you can create for yourself, the more opportunities you'll find. If you start limiting on the states that you're going to go, the pay, the time of year, the shifts that you're going to work, you're going to start limiting your success as a traveler finding those contracts. Not that you can't do it, but if you do that, just know that you need to know the market if it's reasonable, and you need to have a good nest egg so you can make those choices, ride it out until you find the right contract, and then take that contract. For travel duos or travel partners, since you are kind of both needing to have a job, that's automatically going to limit the cities that you can go to or the areas that you can go to as well. Something to consider is if you and your partner are the same specialty or the same, looking for the same shift, that means you're going to be applying for the same jobs. And if so, in order to not be competing over one job, you're probably going to want to look for staffing agencies that have access to these larger hospital systems in order to find the positions that they have multiple of. So if you are both therapists or if you are both ICU, that when they open up those positions that there's going to be two or three, and then you can both take that. Another consideration is if you are traveling duo and now you're working the same jobs, you're likely not going to get these same days off. So if you're planning for some adventures to Zion or national park trips or a big wedding coming up, you're going to have that in your contract, because otherwise one or the other might or probably will be working, especially if you're looking at night shifts. If you are not the same specialty, or one is a rad tech and one is a nurse, that makes it a little bit easier. So you can start looking at the jobs that line up in the areas that you can both go to. For that scenario, say you have a rad tech and then you have a nurse who is med surg and they're traveling together, I would suggest starting with the traveler that has the least amount of jobs out there. So the tighter market in this example would be the rad tech. Other examples of tight markets would be physical therapist assistants, occupational therapy assistants or therapist assistants, rad techs, really specialized nursing. So pediatric ICU, for example, those that have really tight markets, you're going to have the least flexibility out of the two. So if you're able to find a job in a city, start looking there first. In this example scenario, the rad tech, say, finds a job in Kansas City, Missouri. The med-surg nurse should be able to easily find a job in that area versus the opposite way around. There might not be a Kansas City job if that's where you guys are really wanting to go, but there's going to be only med-surg positions and there may or may not be a rad tech position there. So look at whoever has the least amount of jobs in the market and kind of base your job hunting around that individual's availability. The next kind of consideration to have, and the big advantage of traveling with a additional person, is sharing housing costs. Housing is ridiculous right now. It is the highest it's ever been. Right now, it's the hardest it's ever been to find a decently priced unit. And if you're traveling with a buddy, especially if you're sharing a room, that's going to be a lot easier. So a consideration to take place, especially if you are friends and not dating, is what happens if, say, you're 1 month into this 13-week contract for both of you and one of your contracts gets canceled. Is the person that's canceled, are they in charge of that rent for those next 2 months? Or is it the person's workings job to kind of pay that rent for the next 2 months? So if you guys are traveling together, that's probably going to happen at some point. Best to have that conversation up front so that you have a plan of if one gets cut super early or just a little bit early, how you're going to handle those expenses. I will say another big pro for traveling with a significant other or traveling with a partner, a travel buddy, a travel friend. Most people's travel careers only last about 2 to 3 years. Of the couples that I see traveling, and the duos that I see traveling, their careers tend to be longer. So I think it's, if you're taking into context kind of the length of a travel career, most people start settling down either when they're looking for a partner or when they are needing a sense of community. And when you're traveling with somebody else, you have a little bit of community with you. So you would be able to travel a little bit longer. So if you're really wanting to, say, lock down and work as long as you can, earn those that extra cash, earn that extra tax advantages that we get, having a travel buddy could make that career longer for you to take advantage of those. That being said, those are the considerations to take if you are thinking about jumping in as a travel duo or a travel pair, or if you are a travel solo person that's kind of considering maybe getting a friend to go along for these travel assignments. And talking about community and the travel lifestyle, it can get lonely. One of my big reasons I think I've been able to travel as long as I have is TravCon. It's where I've met all of my travel friends. It's kind of my quote unquote family reunion every year that I make, certainly make time for. So this year, as of every year, TravCon, always in Vegas, always in September. Tickets on sale now. Definitely look into it. Solo travelers, it's one of the easiest conferences to go to. Everybody's so excited to talk to you and see what you're up to, where you're going. They're so excited, especially if you're about to jump in or go to somewhere you haven't been before. You will find somebody that is from there that has all of the places that you need to check out while you're visiting that area. So definitely worth going to make yourself a successful traveler, have a longer successful traveler career, longer successful travel career, and be able to fend off that loneliness and kind of create that sense of community. Because oftentimes, especially as it worked out for me after my first TravCon, I ended up having a contract away from several new friends that were just like 15 minutes away or 15 minutes down the road. Especially if you're in California or some of these other high contract states, you're going to make some friends at TravCon. You likely will be in the same area. Or maybe you just bum on their couch while you're driving through, which has definitely been something I've taken advantage of too. But yes, everybody, have safe travels. Enjoy your travel partners if you're out there with the travel duo. Tell them thanks. Tell them you appreciate them. And if you're travel solo, well, I'll see you at this year's TravCon.